Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:13 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 7th, and I don't think we could start off with anything other than Bitcoin today because it has had another explosive move up $2,600 in just one day. But I think that we can gain some insight into what's going on if we look at the logarithmic scale chart, because we had some real examples of massive acceleration back in 2013 when the price rallied from somewhere around $15 to $1,000 in the space of a year. That was a truly exponential move, and it was another 3 years before it could surmount that $1,000 level. It pulled back by 80% by the dawn of 2015. So we know that that's ample evidence that explosions, that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. We saw that at the beginning of towards the end of 2015, but accelerations are trend endings, and that the bigger the acceleration, the likelihood is that you're going to have a big trend ending. So we can see that in 2017, and if we just stick with the logarithmic scale chart, that if we look at 2017, we can see that Bitcoin has had these ranges one above another, and this is now perhaps the most recent range. It barely stands out on an annual chart because it was only 5 days long. But the price did get up to 10,000 and it did pause, and now it has broken out again and it is up another 50% since the beginning of this month. And considering that we're only 7 days into it, that is an indication of just how quickly prices are rising. And of course, we have a catalytic event on the horizon, because the CBOT is going to be listing its Bitcoin futures for trading on December 10th. And a quick look at the calendar will tell you that that's a weekend. But of course, Bitcoin trades 24/7. And what that will represent, and one of the reasons that the price is accelerating so incredibly quickly, is because people are anticipating that there's going to be a wall of money hits this market when futures begin trading. And that is certainly true. But what it does not say is in which direction will that money bet. No one has been able to initiate large short positions in Bitcoin just yet, but that will change on Sunday. And what it also then means, of course, is that we are introducing leverage into a largely unleveraged market, so then that is also a risk condition. But at the very minimum, if the most recent range had a peak around $11,000, then at the peak in here today, then the potential is that it could pull back by $5,000 and change and still be holding one range above another. So this is a time to be thinking about having at least a trailing stop on a long position. But if Bitcoin was doing well today, gold was breaking down. And it was down $16, and most particularly, it's below the $1,250 area, and it's breaking below the trend mean. What this suggests is that this very inert environment we've had for the last couple of months is being resolved on the downside, and it is now for the bulls to prove that we clearly need an upper dynamic to confirm our return to demand dominance in this area. Both silver and platinum have been down on consecutive days. They are developing these short-term oversold conditions, and most particularly as silver comes back towards the $15 area, and platinum is now testing the lows from last year and indeed from the year before, where it has bounced previously from around this $900 area. But again, it is for the bulls to prove. There might be a short-term oversold condition, but there is nothing to say that it can't become more oversold in the event that it does break down from these levels. And of course, part of the reason that gold is not performing as one might hope in the current environment is because it does best when interest rates are not keeping up or are not keeping pace with inflationary measures. And in fact, we've got the opposite condition now that central banks are in fact raising, or it's not all central banks, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates ahead of inflation that they expect to see, but there's no great deal of evidence for it just yet in the official statistics, even if it is reasonable to expect that we are going to have some wage inflation coming down the line. And it was a reasonably quiet day in stock markets. I should also mention that in the precious metal markets, that palladium, which has been a clear outperformer, is back above $1,000. And this has been a really quite a steady process of consolidation in the region of a big psychological level, and it continues to hold its progression of higher reaction lows. And that is still the case when we look at it on just a simple daily basis. Now, there was some positive news from, for example, GE today, where they have decided to cut their workforce, but it was not able to sustain its intraday advance, and this is still pretty feeble. It is reasonably steady around that 1770 area, but and there is obviously now a clear oversold condition, so the potential for some unwinding of that oversold condition with a reversionary bounce is increasing, but there isn't a great deal of evidence to support it just yet. Meanwhile, Boeing also came through with earnings in here today, and that has continued to advance. It has been rallying in a very impressive manner from the end of 2016, and that very much remains the case. But I think we can see clearly on the weekly chart that it might be consistent on the upside, but an increasingly wide overextension relative to the trend mean is developing, and that the first clear downward dynamic, and most particularly if it breaks that $260 area, then it would be breaking the progression of higher reaction lows, and that would signal a peak of probably more than short-term significance. But when we look at the primary indices, that they have paused, and the S&P 500 was up marginally in here today, but the most important factor is that it has not pulled back by more than 80 points in over a year. So this looks like a pause. It does not look like a peak of more than short-term significance just yet. It would really need to be pulling back below the 2600 area to even begin to countenance that we are at anything other than a short-term peak. And the S&P 500 Banks Index has been really quite steady, having broken out last week. And the fact that it is back in a position of outperformance is a tailwind for the stock market generally. Then, when we look at Japan, the banking sector has been ranging for really quite some time, and it was in negative territory in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. And it has been consolidating in the region, well, below 200 and above the 200-day moving average for the last couple of months. And a sustained move back above 200, I think, would reassert medium-term demand dominance. The second section index was a little bit firmer in here today as it consolidates below that 7,000 level. And the Nikkei was bouncing in here today. It was up 320 and almost completely countermanding the day before's pullback, but also helping to confirm at least short-term support in the region of that 22,000 level. And I continue to think that Japan is the market that will benefit most from the return of inflation. And but of course, we don't exactly know just yet when that is likely to be. But nonetheless, Japan is running easy fiscal and monetary policy, so that alone is a I think an important tailwind for the market. I did a full click through of the financial sector in Japan last night, and I need to collate my results, but I hope to bring a more complete picture of the financial sector in Japan to you in tomorrow's comment of the day. Meanwhile, the the US 10-year Treasury has been ranging mostly above its trend mean for 3 months already, and the yield was somewhat higher in here today. So it is continuing to hold this 2.3% level, but it really does need to sustain a move above 2.5% to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And we could have said that about the 2.4% previously, but it did not sustain the move above it and has been ranging below it. So we probably need to raise the bar a little bit before we can really conclude that that we're back in a supply-dominated environment for UK or US bonds. Now, when we look at the pound, the fortunes of the pound have been ebbing and flowing with perceptions about whether there's going to be a deal cut with the EU. And one can certainly understand the animus that the hard Brexiters have to making concessions, because they believe, rightfully so, that they won the referendum and that that gave the government a mandate to go out and cut a deal that would give the UK a very large degree of independence relative to the EU. But unfortunately, the EU wasn't having much of that, and the negotiation process has been really quite difficult. And one of the problems the UK has is that the EU is a much bigger trading partner for it than it is for the EU. And what that has resulted in is a number of concessions being made that were unpalatable and unconscionable during the referendum campaign, but probably politically necessary nonetheless. The reality is that British business wants a deal, and the city wants a deal, and they represent significant proportions of the UK's GDP and are major employers. So what that suggests is that there will be a deal, and now we have the pound breaking upwards, or at least on the cusp of breaking upwards against the euro. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, it is now trading back above the trend mean, and it did do that before, earlier this year, and indeed in 2016, and wasn't able to sustain it. But if the pound can sustain the move above 114, then it will have broken its medium-term downtrend, and that would suggest that it is back in a medium-term bullish environment. There is the realistic possibility that the EU could come out of this entire process somewhat better off, that it will retain somewhat preferential trading conditions with the EU while giving up some conditions elsewhere, obviously, but then it will have some leeway as well to go out and trade favorably with other countries. So it's going to be a long and arduous negotiation process for the next few years, and in probably for years after that. The transition agreement that has been agreed to, well, it started off being 2 years, but when you get into the nitty-gritty of what the trade is going to be between the UK and the EU, it could take longer than that, and the transition agreement could be potentially lengthy. And in fact, considering that there are a substantial cohorts within the government that don't want to leave the EU at all, and that would suggest that there is the potential for some mission creep, so to speak, in terms of the Brexit negotiations, that by widening the scope of the negotiations, that could delay the eventual conclusion. So that is, I think, probably going to be looked on favorably by the markets, because it would reduce uncertainty. And one of the big problems for the market has been the uncertainty that has been associated with the Brexit process. The removal or the reduction of the uncertainty quotient should help to improve the prospects for the currency. So I bought some pounds in here today, and I anticipate that it will be able to break up and away from the euro in the not too distant future. But when we look at it against the dollar, then what we have is a progression of higher reaction lows that is has been in evidence for more than a year already, and it continues to find support in the region of the trend mean. So as long as it is doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. So against the dollar, the pound has already broken the medium-term downtrend. There is an increasing possibility it will be able to do the same against the euro. And that could have negative connotations for the stock market. The FTSE was down a little bit in here today, and not least because of renewed strength in the pound. Part of the reason that it was able to break upwards in nominal terms back in 2016 was because of the weakness of the pound. We're going to have to see some a return to earnings growth in order to really confirm that it is going to be able to be able to sustain this move above the 7,000 level, which I think is the key psychological level for the market. And when we look at the European indices, they are continuing to pause below this 400 level on the euro stocks, but it doesn't look like anything other than a pause, and there is ample potential for it to get right up and test the upper side of its range, which is around 450, probably in 2018. The ECB is talking about tapering, but they've been a bit slow about it, and what we can see here is that they don't particularly want a strong currency, and the euro encountered resistance in the last week around this 120 area once more, and it really does now need to sustain a move above 120 to confirm that it's back in a demand-dominated environment. The most important thing it did was break up out of that two-year range, but it does need to demonstrate that it can hold that move, and there is the possibility that it may not be able to, that the USA has embarked on a fiscal stimulus. They're about to engage in an infrastructure stimulus in addition, or at least devoting some of that money to infrastructure. So that needn't necessarily be positive for the dollar unless it generates growth. And there is the potential that it will generate growth, whether that will represent an additional iteration of the opioid epidemic, this time on the economic front, is probably an open question at this stage. But what we can see from the chart so far is that the dollar index has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, but it has not yet moved to a new low. And it so far looks like a consolidation. It's still very much for the bulls to prove, but if it can sustain a move above 95, then it will be a failed downside break, and that would raise the prospect that it will go right back up and test the upper side of the range, which again would not be particularly bullish for the precious metals. And the industrial metals were pretty much unchanged in here today. Copper was not able to hold its intraday advance, and it has just about unwound its oversold condition, its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and nickel was slightly firmer in here today. It is right back in the region of its trend mean. This is a natural area where it should find support if indeed the progression of higher reaction lows are going to be sustained, but it will need to follow through on the upside tomorrow if that is indeed the case. And when we look at the large cap technology sector, it has continued to remain really quite consistent, and the Nasdaq 100, it has been ranging now for 6 weeks. It is finding support in the region of 6200, and as long as it is doing that, then this remains a reasonably inert and really rather consistent advance overall, with this most recent range looking really quite similar to that which we saw back in late July through to the end of September. So I think one of the markets that seems to be making the most headlines is Bitcoin, and it is where we have one of the clearest examples of acceleration in both nominal and relative terms. And we know that acceleration is a trend ending that anyone who's got a long position has to at least be thinking about the need to have a trailing stop, because when it pulls back, it could pull back very violently. I've seen a number of stories where people have become millionaires or even billionaires in just the last few weeks. And those are the kinds of stories that really inspire people to buy more. That is what contributes to euphoria. And that would suggest that this acceleration, it will be wonderful while it lasts, but when it ends, we're going to have really quite a dramatic pullback. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.